Last-minute agreement averts a Hollywood writers' strike as the Writers Guild of America and the TV networks have been...
When we can do the work for you. Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
The past...
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It is Tuesday, May 16th, 11:02 a.m. in Flemington, New Jersey, and what a beautiful day it is out there today. It will be sunny with a high near 79. Looks like it's about 57 right now. West wind 6 to 9 miles per hour, and tonight we'll have some patchy fog after 5 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 53 and a light south wind. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 89 degrees. Light southwest wind becoming 5 to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon, and Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 66. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 91. Southwest wind 7 to 10 miles per hour. And Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 67. Come Friday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., but mostly sunny with a high near 86. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Friday evening, chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 56. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 73, and the lows around 53 in the evening. And Sunday, again, another 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 73. So we're looking like we're coming into springtime, Joe. We're going to have one more commercial, and then we'll come back with Joe Patton and Some Things About Money.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You are listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner of Patton, Heidi & Associates, and we are located at 1318 Route 31 North in beautiful Annandale, New Jersey, on this fabulous day weather-wise. Hello, Tony. Tony's like smiling. She's just enjoying this wonderful weather, and I guess there's nothing bad going on unless, of course, you happen to be in Washington, D.C., or you've been hit with all of the ransomware. We'll talk a little bit about that on the show today. We'll talk about markets, housing starts, consumers, and international investing. And if that wasn't enough, we'll talk about some tidbits, some things about money as it relates to the odds and ends of the markets and the things that we all should be aware of. But currently, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 20,968. That's down 13.6 points, or not much at all, really. S&P 500 down 2.93, NASDAQ up 1.43. And this is all after the markets were open a little bit more this morning earlier, but stocks have eased. They've given up gains as healthcare has fallen. And as we can see, the S&P has pulled back from its record, although the NASDAQ is still hanging on. Over in Europe, the FTSE is up over 67 points, 0.9%. The DAX is down 0.1%. The CAC 40 is down about 0.2%. Oil prices are at $48.87 a barrel. That's up a couple of pennies. Gold is sitting at $1,238.20, up $8.20. And the 10-year Treasury yield is currently at 2.315, moving a little bit lower after key housing data came out earlier this morning. And talking about housing data, the U.S. housing starts did total 1.172 million in April versus the 1.26 million starts that happened to be expected. We didn't quite get there, but housing has still been pretty good. Construction of new homes fell for the second straight month in April, pushing activity to the lowest point in 5 months. The Commerce Department says housing starts fell 2.6% in April to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.17 million units. That followed a 6.6% decline in March and left home building at its lowest point since last November. The weakness was led by a big drop in construction of apartments, a very volatile sector. Housing construction has been one of the bright spots for the economy. Analysts expect that the number of Americans seeking homes will rebound in the coming months. That will be driven by strong employment gains and lower unemployment. Well, let's see. Talking about weaker U.S. dollar and improved international economics. That has benefited U.S.-based multinationals in the first quarter. And looking at S&P 500 earnings per share, they are on a trend to post year-over-year growth of close to 14% in the first quarter, and that's according to FactSet. It would be the strongest growth for companies of the index since the third quarter of 2011. Companies with international exposure have been posting particularly strong results for the period. Two factors are supporting this result. One, economic activity in key international markets, such as Europe and Japan, has been picking up. And a weaker U.S. dollar enables foreign earned income to translate into more U.S. dollars for financial reporting purposes. Over the course of the first quarter, the value of the U.S. dollar on a trade-weighted basis declined 3.7%, according to the St. Louis Federal Reserve Bank. Through Friday, May 12th, S&P 500 earnings per share in aggregate were 13.6% higher. Companies with 50% or more of their assets outside the U.S., however, were seen posting year-over-year earnings growth of 20.9%, while companies with 50% of their sales or more in the U.S. were seen posting growth of 9.9%. A similar pattern of outperformance can be seen for revenue growth. So let's see. David Joy, Chief Economic Market Honcho here at Ameriprise, had a commentary that he put out a little bit dealing with the data, U.S. consumers, all of that good stuff. And basically he's talking about the hibernating U.S. consumer showing signs of shaking off its winter slumber and stirring to life as of last week. In the first quarter of the year, personal consumption was estimated to have grown at a somewhat decent annualized rate of 0.3%. It's better than nothing. By comparison, over the last 3 years, personal consumption has averaged 2.9%. Now, remember, we've had a number of consecutive years where first quarter has shown significant weakness, only to rebound in the final three quarters of the year. And so far, we seem to be starting out the same way. It was the weakest quarterly pace of economic consumption in 8 years and followed an average rate of 3.25% in the second half of last year. Admittedly, the accuracy of the first quarter economics reports has been challenged for 7 years, but even faulty seasonal adjustments likely don't fully explain just how weak the quarter was, especially for an economy dependent upon the consumer spending for 70% of its total activity. But last week's retail sales report for April offered some encouragement that the consumer may be starting to spend once again. Retail sales grew 0.4% in April. That was less than the 0.6% consensus estimates, but March was revised higher by 0.1% gain from an initially estimated 0.2% decline, leaving February's 0.2% decline as the nadir of activity so far this year. That the month of February this year was the second warmest in 123 years of U.S. climate history may have had something to do with that. However, the cause of the relative improvement since is a welcome development. Consumer sentiment also continued to show improvement following a plunge in February that suggests that there was more to the month's retail sales weakness than just the weather. The University of Michigan survey of consumer sentiment has climbed steadily since, including February's preliminary reading for May. The survey remains just below its high for the year, reached in January, the highest reading in 13 years. Inflationary pressures also eased last month, leaving a little more spending power in consumers' pockets and suggesting that consumption in real terms may be stronger than it appears, despite still only modest wage growth. The year-over-year increase in the consumer price index for April slipped to 2.2% from 2.4% in March. The core rate dipped from 1.9% to 2%. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note fell to 2.32% at week's end after hitting a recent high of 2.41% on Wednesday, choosing to overlook the higher prices at the wholesale level reported on Thursday. The two-year yield fell to 1.29% from a midweek high of 1.35%. So despite the relatively good consumer news and after reaching a new closing high on Wednesday, stocks drifted lower to end the week, pushing the S&P 500 to its first weekly loss in the past four. The decline was modest, just 0.4%, but disappointing that stocks declined at all in light of improving economic data and continued strong earnings. Now, with 91% of companies having reported, FactSet now estimates first quarter earnings growth of 13.6% as expectations have been consistently exceeded. But shares of department stores, while they were notably weak as sales continue to decline in the face of growing competition online. And investors, well, they were forced to consider the impact on policy of the president's firing of FBI Director Comey. At the very least, it's a distraction that could delay consideration of economic initiatives, including health care, tax reform, and next year's budget. After starting the year at a forward P.E. ratio of 17 times, the forward valuation of the S&P 500 rose to 17.9 times by early March as the demand climbed. Since then, the better-than-expected earnings growth in the first quarter has lowered the forward P.E. to 17.5 times as the index has treaded water. That valuation is still elevated relative to history, but the picture has improved slightly. There was some modestly encouraging news last week in the oil patch. The U.S. Energy Information Administration reported that commercial crude oil inventories, well, they declined by a considerable 5.2 million barrels in the week ended May 5th. It was the fifth straight weekly fall in crude inventories that has resulted in overall declines of 2.4%. Gasoline inventories also fell. After starting the year at just under $54 a barrel, the price of West Texas crude bottomed on May 4th at $45.50 a barrel in the face of rising domestic production and bloated inventories. Since then, it has rallied modestly, ending the week at $47.84. Yet despite strong first quarter earnings and notwithstanding last week's 0.7% gain, the sector has languished, with the Energy Select Sector Index falling 10% on the year. But starting this week, all eyes have been on China, which reports results of retail sales, industrial production, and fixed investments in the U.S. The calendar this week also includes industrial production, along with housing starts and permits and leading indicators. So there's a whole bunch of stuff yet to come here in the markets in the U.S. as well as internationally. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about markets and cybersecurity. You're listening to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And we're back. You are listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, certified financial planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Let's see. WannaCry? Ransomware attack? Boost cybersecurity shares. Well, cybersecurity firms were among the top-performing stocks yesterday following what has been labeled as one of the largest ransomware attacks in history. Although the near-term ramifications and ultimate financial impact will take time to assess, overall, we view these headline-grabbing events as a positive tailwind for that group. While President Trump's Homeland Security Advisor Tom Bossert said that Friday's global cyber attack is something that, for right now, well, we've got under control. In our view, this statement reinforces our thesis that cybersecurity will remain a top priority for the enterprise market. Unfortunately, both the frequency, and that's the number of data breaches, and severity, based on the number of records stolen, of cyber-related hacking has grown over the past several years. Now, recall that late last year, Yahoo announced that the state-sponsored group hacked into its network and stole a copy of user account information that may have included names, email addresses, date of birth, and security questions and answers. In 2014, a hacker group stole information from Sony and eventually prevented the theatrical release of the controversial film, The Interview. Data breaches on retail stores such as Target and Home Depot in 2014, as well as the nearly 22 million records stolen from the U.S. Office of Personnel Management in 2015, highlight the reach of these cyber attacks. We believe the rash of headline-grabbing data breach activity over the past several months could, in our view, force enterprises, large and small, to strengthen their information security protocols. We continue to point to increasing cyber attack potential resulting from the continued growth in global smartphone penetration, social networking, the connected world via the Internet of Things, and more app-enabled functionality, and that would be through banking, mobile payments, etc. The combination of more sophisticated attacks, really they are like targeted spear phishing, ransomware, etc., near ubiquitous internet access and massive compute resources are making it easier and cheaper for criminals to initiate an attack. So, I mean, it's something that all of us need to pay closer attention to. I was a bit apprehensive walking into my office on Monday thinking that when I logged onto my computer, I was going to get that full screen telling me that I had to make my $300 contribution in Bitcoin to the person who just messed me up. But luckily, none of that happened. So, what are you going to do? I guess we just have to deal with it. Other things, there's been a little bit concern out there about the equity markets being too calm. Well, you know, market volatility is tracing at some of its lowest levels of the year, and at some time, stock prices are still hitting new highs. In fact, volatility, as measured by the Chicago Board of Options Exchange Volatility Index, is currently sitting near some of its most depressed levels dating back to the 1990s. While better-than-expected quarter-one earnings reports and firm U.S. economic data over the recent weeks have helped to solidify investor optimism, I know we at Ameriprise believe it's critical to maintain balance across your investment allocations today. Rising equity valuations within the S&P 500 index more broadly, accompanied by deteriorating leadership across reflationary theme sectors, could mark more than just a typical summer lull in our view. So not necessarily a sell in May and go away scenario, but don't be surprised if things just didn't flatten out even more. Materials, industrials, financials, and energy are all underperforming the broader S&P 500 index year to date. This stands in contrast to the broad benchmark hitting a new 52-week high yesterday and closing above 2,400 for the first time in its history. However, before yesterday's gains, only information technology was positive on a price basis month to date. The sector accounts for the over 20% of the S&P 500's market cap has help keep the broader benchmark in positive territory during the month of May. However, infotech, consumer discretionary, and healthcare are the only three sectors outperforming the S&P 500 year-to-date and combined account for nearly 50% of the S&P 500's market cap. Yes, market gains are built on more than just reflationary themes that have propelled equities higher at the end of last year, which we routinely discuss, but slow developing progress on tax reform as well as several unexpected policy hiccups, or if you want to call them mishaps from the White House this year, continue to create risk for investors over the intermediate term. Now, the S&P 500 index on average has experienced an intraday decline of 14.2% dating back to 1980, with several 5% to 10% intra-year pullbacks just over the last few years. Through yesterday, we have seen little pullback in equity prices so far this year, and supported by the embedded S&P 500 chart that I'm looking at, which clearly indicates that being true. While second quarter earnings should improve year over year, for a number of S&P 500 sectors, recent price performance appears concentrated to a few sectors and stocks at the moment, though improving fundamentals could continue to drive stock prices higher over the near term. We believe outsized gains may be harder to achieve, and in the absence of a typical intra-year correction, in other words, we're well overdue for this. Seasonally adjusted trends may also contribute to keeping equity returns more muted over the summer months, and the recent underperformance from reflationary theme sectors warrants close attention in our view. Asia, continuing to move well. Equities finished mostly higher on Tuesday, and following gains in the U.S. yesterday, regional news was light and continued to focus on some of the China Belt Road initiatives, which has been all over the financial press, and that has been discussed in depth over the weekend. According to Reuters reporting, capital outflows in China appear to be easing as data from the People's Bank of China showed Beijing sold $6.1 billion worth of FX reserves in April, representing the smallest FX sale since June of 2015. Separately, the UN Security Council released a statement ahead of today's emergency session condemning the recent North Korea missile launches, while early reports suggesting Pyongyang may have been involved in a WannaCry ransomware attack. Lastly, Japan's five leading bank groups reported a third straight year of shrinking aggregate profits, according to FactSet. Profits have been, well, unsurprisingly, hampered by the Bank of Japan's negative interest rate policy. Europe continued to be mixed across the region. UK CPI accelerated to 2.7% year-over-year in April and above the 2.6% expected and 2.3% recorded in March. The faster clip in April inflation also appears to be running ahead of the Bank of England's own inflation expectations this year and is the highest headline reading since June of 2013. Core CPI in the UK grew at 2.4% during April and was also ahead of the 2.3% growth expected. Separately, German Chancellor Angela Merkel said she would be open to European Union treaty changes if it makes sense. However, her statement following yesterday's meeting with newly elected French President Emmanuel Macron did not highlight any specific changes or details. So things continue as they have been in Europe. Not much is changing. Europe investments continue to do extremely well in 2017, and as we've talked about before, are part of a well-diversified portfolio. Okay, so we're doing a lot of talking about data today because it is relatively data-rich. And what does that mean to you? Well, I don't think this is something that you're paying close attention to when you're looking at the Internet to determine whether or not the investments you have in your portfolio are doing overly well or not. One thing we always recommend is getting an opinion about your goals, your time frame, your risk tolerance. Talking to a credentialed financial advisor who is working under the fiduciary standard, or in other words, doing what's in your best interest and not the company's. So, what you want to do is find one of those people out there, especially as we're into the second quarter, so to speak, and make sure that you're on track. Because if you're not, like many things else in life, you may not get a do-over. And since we've been way ahead of the time we normally have a market correction, you may want to get a second opinion as to whether or not your portfolio is properly structured given your goals, your time frame, your risk tolerance. So give us a call at 908-713-6600, and we'd be more than happy to have a conversation about you. Okay, you are listening to Some Things About Money. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about why invest in international stocks now, and then we have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about as far as by the numbers.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As you know, the president has chosen the state of Israel as a site for his first international visit this coming week.
And as that presidential visit to Israel approaches, David Friedman, the new U.S. ambassador to Israel, is welcomed there by Israeli officials and says of President Trump,
his love for and commitment to the state of Israel is rock solid and it enjoys his highest priority.
President Trump's priority this morning has been defending himself against reports that he shared highly classified information with Russian officials who were visiting the White House last week. Trump tweeting earlier today that he has an absolute right to share the facts that are related to terrorism and airline safety. He says he's also trying to get Russia to step up its fight against ISIS. The fight against ISIS will also be a topic today when President Trump hosts the visiting president of Turkey. This is USA Radio News.
Bikes, scooters, skates, and skateboards remain some of the most popular activities for kids today. But with nearly 50 children going to emergency rooms every hour, there's reason for concern. A new report by Safe Kids Worldwide and Nationwide's Make Safe Happen program finds that nearly 40% of parents say their child doesn't wear a helmet while riding. Safe Kids Worldwide medical advisor Dr. Marseille White.
Properly fitted helmets and other protective equipment are the single best way to protect kids while riding on bikes and other wheeled sports. No matter where your children ride, it's important to make sure they protect their heads, knees, wrists, and elbows for when they fall so they can continue to ride happy and safe.
Safe Kids encourages families to practice safe riding together, wear properly fitted helmets, ride in safe locations, and follow the rules of the road. For more tips, visit safekids.org. I'm Alex Verde reporting.
This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It's now 11:31 a.m. on Tuesday, May 16th. We're here in Flemington. The weather today is 79 degrees, high near 79 degrees. Lots of sun out there. West wind 7 to 9 miles per hour. Tonight, patchy fog after 5 a.m. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a low around 53. Tomorrow will be about sunny, about high near 89. Light southwest wind becoming west 5 to 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 66. Southwest wind 5 to 7 miles per hour. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 91. And Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low around 67. Friday will have a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m., but mostly sunny with a high near 86 degrees. Chance of precipitation is 30%. And Friday evening, additional chance of showers and thunderstorms before 8 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 56. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 73 and a low around 53. And Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 73. And 70 evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 59. This is Some Things About Money. It's 11:33 a.m., and we'll be back with Joe Patton and Some Things About Money.
And we are back. We've been throwing a lot of data at you today. So let's do a little bit more on the data side before we talk international stocks. U.S. equity sector. The Ameriprise Global Asset Allocation Committee currently is looking at sectors both in the U.S. and globally as far as their recommendation list. Currently, they do have an overweight recommendation for energy, financials, and healthcare, along with information technology. Equal weight, we're looking at consumer discretionary, industrials, materials, and telecom. And they are recommending underweight positions for consumer staples, utilities, and real estate. Now, underweight does not mean you should not have those sectors in your balanced portfolio. It's just that as you look at the percentages of that portfolio, the Global Asset Allocation Committee does make a percentage recommendation versus a more tactical outlay or an S&P 500 index weighting. It's really not overly confusing to those of us who work with this on a regular basis, but as far as the average consumer building a portfolio, just know that some sectors are more in favor than others, and you should be talking to your financial advisor about specific recommendations for those sectors as it relates to you. As far as internationally, looking at the global equity region on a tactical basis, we are still overweight the United States, but that's pretty much the only area where we are overweight currently. Equal weight for Canada, Latin America, Asia Pacific, including Japan, as well as Europe excluding the UK. the UK, we still have a slight underweight on. Mm-hmm. We have an underweight on the Middle East and Africa as well. So that is the Global Asset Allocation Committee feelings from Ameriprise about how to allocate dollars in a balanced portfolio. Now, why invest in international stocks now? There was an interesting article from Anwiti Baunguna, who is a PhD and senior portfolio manager for the Global Asset Allocation Committee for Colombia. And in the first quarter of 2017, she writes, it was a good time to take equity risk. Expectations of fiscal policy changes and reassuring elections in Europe unleashed a surge in the price of risk assets like stocks. However, as we passed the mark of U.S. President Donald Trump's first 100 days in office, it may be worthwhile for investors to reevaluate the composition of their equity allocation. Now, at Columbia, they see reasons for caution on U.S. equities going forward, while international equities and emerging market equities are looking more compelling. Now, there's three reasons for caution on the U.S. equity side. And again, you know, I just stated that the committee currently still has an overweight for the U.S., so a caution doesn't mean head for the hills. But number one reason, U.S. equities are expensive. We talked about, you know, the multiples on U.S. equities earlier on in the show. U.S. equity valuation measures are at highs, which means that U.S. stocks are expensive, especially compared with international stocks. Now, this holds true even after accounting for low bond yields. We are concerned that after President Trump won the election, U.S. markets priced in positive expectations for pro-business policy reform maybe a little bit too much and too early. Second reason, the benefit of corporate tax cuts, well, that's uncertain. Both the timing and the magnitude of corporate tax cuts could improve U.S. companies' earnings. No doubt about that. However, market participants have already largely paid for these tax cuts in the form of higher equity multiples, which rose in late 2016 on the assumption that the incoming Trump administration would reform tax policy. Therefore, how much more the actual implementation would benefit investors, that remains unclear. The third reason, U.S. stocks are not priced in alignment with monetary policy. The Fed is on a path to tighten interest rates and potentially make changes to its balance sheet in 2017. We believe that U.S. stocks are not reflecting this expectation. As long as this disconnect remains, there may be more downside risk than upside potential for U.S. stocks as monetary policy evolves. Now, consumer confidence. Economists, gotta love them. Economists refer to consumer confidence surveys on the state of the economy as soft economic indicators, whereas data reflects actual spending and production, well, they're referred to as hard indicators. In its March meeting minutes, the Federal Open Market Committee drew attention to the soft versus hard data debate. Since the U.S. election, soft indicators have improved, and the stock market has risen along with them. However, hard data on actual business activity has not shown a similar increase, with first quarter GDP falling below expectations. Now, at Columbia, they believe the economy will continue to grow and the hard data will rise to catch up with the soft data. On the other hand, soft data could reflect excessive optimism and hard data may fail to meet these expectations. So, reasons to consider international equities. Given our cautious view of U.S. equities, we believe investors should consider the relative attractiveness of other equity markets. Yes, international developed markets in Europe, Japan, markets benefit from continued quantitative easing, a type of monetary policy used to stimulate economic growth and equity valuations are more attractive compared with the U.S. International growth is in its early stages of recovery after a long period of subpar returns. Economic growth in emerging markets is projected to grow faster than in developed markets. After 2 years of declines, emerging markets earnings are growing again, and equity valuations are attractive relative to other markets and their own historical average. Bottom line, U.S. stocks have performed well so far in 2017, but given high equity valuations and ongoing policy concerns in the U.S., Columbia believes some caution is warranted. Within the equity allocation, they continue to favor non-U.S. equity markets in general and emerging markets in particular for their attractive valuations and growth prospects. So, what does that mean to you as an investor? Make sure that you have a well-balanced portfolio, including equity positions overseas. Whether you're looking at established international markets or emerging markets, and talk to your financial advisor to ensure that that balance is right for you. So, here we are. It's about 11:41, and we're going to have one more segment after we come back from the break, and that's going to be our, well, the segment that we love. Tony and I talk about all sorts of stuff. We bounce around on different topics as it relates to some things about money, but we look at it by the numbers. So we'll be doing that when we come back. In the meantime, we just want to give everybody a reminder here in Hunterdon County. It's a beautiful day. You know, bring your laptop with you or your smartphone. Continue to listen to Hunterdon Chamber Radio, but get out there, enjoy the day, do some shopping, support your local vendors, especially here in Flemington, because these are the people who hire your neighbors and, you know, make life a lot more comfortable and convenient for all of us. So this is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton, Heidi & Associates, and you are listening to Some Things About Money.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Well, we're back. This is Some Things About Money. Let's take a look at the markets. We are pretty close to flat. The Dow Jones is down about 5. The S&P is down 2.5 points. The NASDAQ is up 2.7. So not much going on. What are we waiting for here, Tony? FTSE, well, they're not waiting around. They're up almost 1%. The DAX is flat. The CAC is down about 0.2. Looking at oil, up 8 cents a barrel to $48.93. Gold is up $8 an ounce to $12.38. The U.S. Treasury yield is at 2.315. And So far, so very good. The S&P 500, as we talk numbers today, is up 7.9% year to date through March 5th. Through the close of trading last week, the index achieved 14 all-time record closing highs, including a record close last Friday, and posted a 55-45 split between up days and down days during 2017. The S&P 500, consisting again of 500 stocks chosen for market size, liquidity, and industry group representation. It is a market value weighted index, which with each stock's weight in the index proportionate to its market value. All right, which one do you like, Tony?
Let's see. When the Fed began 2017 this year, they were projecting 3 rate hikes for the year. After last week's 2-day meeting held on May 2nd and 3rd, which resulted in no change, the Fed has now raised short-term rates just one time in 3 meetings for this year. There are 5 additional Fed meetings scheduled for 2017.
Well, they better get on the stick and get those interest rates hiked higher. Well, we'll see. That usually happens if GDP numbers and employment numbers are cruising. Not quite sure that's happening. At least GDP isn't after the first quarter numbers. And as far as employment goes, yeah, people have jobs, but I'm not exactly sure that they're making the wages that they need for the Fed to worry about inflation and the need to raise interest rates. But we shall see. Let's see. Uncharted territory. The NASDAQ Composite Index closed above 6,000 on April 25th, 2017. That was the first time in its 46-year history. After peaking at 5,049 in March of 2000, the index, remember the technology crash, fell 71% to 1,114 over the next 31 months. It wasn't until April of 2015 that the NASDAQ rebounded to close back above 5,049. Took a long time, but they got there.
Looking ahead, the personal savings rate in the U.S. was 5.9% as of March 31st of this year. The personal savings rate in 2005 was just 1.9%, which was a record low in the country. The rate is defined as savings divided by after-tax income.
Yep. Now, we couldn't have a show unless we made some reference to college, and you know, off to college they go. Of the 3.14 million high school graduates in 2016, 2.19 million students began college in the fall of 2016. 70% of the 2016 high school graduates went on to college. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad at all. Let's see. Next.
So, just 1% of Americans are responsible for 21% of the healthcare expenditures in the U.S. And just 20% of Americans are responsible for 82% of the healthcare expenditures in the U.S.
And you wonder why we're having a problem with premium costs. There's that old repeal and replace. Talking about healthcare. Let's see. Last Thursday's vote on health care reform, you know, the American Health Care Act, was 215 to 213 with one member not voting. I wonder why. One vote more than the 216 needed for passage in the House, even though there are 435 House members, 4 current vacancies. They dropped the simple majority needed for passage to just 216. Now, Bill H-1628 now moves to the Senate for its review. I wonder if any of the senators are going to take time off to figure out a way to pay for their health care costs. Let's see. What else do we have here? I'm going to go one more time. Who would benefit? Let's see. The one-page outline released by the White House on April 26th of this year on tax reform included a doubling of the standard deduction on a joint return from its current level of $12,700 to $24,000. 70% of tax returns currently use the standard deduction as opposed to itemizing their deductions. Now, the next one is near and dear to our hearts. You got it.
High tax states, yep.
The
Trump proposal will eliminate deductibility of the state and local taxes and personal property taxes on the 1040 return. That would increase individual taxes by $63 billion a year. 44% of the $63 billion would impact taxpayers in just four states.
And what four states are they?
California, New York, New Jersey, and Illinois.
Wow. Boy, aren't we special. Okay, well, let's see. I hope you have a job. The unemployment rate of the United States in April of 2017, it had dropped to 4.4%. The unemployment rate of the 19-nation Eurozone in March of 2017 was 9.5%. So we don't have as many people on vacation as they do in Europe. That's good. Let's see, what else? The average age. Did you see that?
Yeah, I just read.
Go ahead.
Who knew? The average age of the top three Republicans in the House are Ryan, McCarthy, and Scalise. Those are the top three. And their average age is 50 years old. The average age of the top three Democrats in the House, Pelosi, Hoyer, and Clyburn, is 77 years old. They need to go.
They're old. Yeah. I think maybe a little bit out of touch, too.
Wow.
But, well, let's see. And outside the House, we have Hillary Clinton, who just formed her own organization to, how did she say, resist the president and his policies? Isn't that nice? That's nice. I like that. We're going to do everything we can to have the president of the United States fail and therefore the country. I'm just so proud of her. While we were young, let's see, I like this, the PGA golfers Brian Campbell and Miguel Angel Cabrera are playing in the Tour's two-man team competition in Louisiana on April 27th, were assessed a penalty stroke for slow play. The first such punishment levied in the men's tour since 1995. Although 84% of tour pros believe slow play is a problem. It's also a problem in terms of the Democrats in the House and Senate. Remember when OPEC came out late last year and decided they were going to slash production? You know, kind of wonder how that worked. Well, we found out. The 14 members of OPEC had agreed on November 30th of last year to slash production by 1.2 million barrels a day, along with additional cuts of 600,000 barrels a day from non-OPEC member countries, a combined reduction of 1.8 million barrels per day. Now, OPEC next meets in Vienna on Thursday, May 25th, 2017, to review their goal of increasing the price of oil. But how did it work out? Crude oil closed at $49.44 a barrel on November 30th of 2016. As of Friday, May 5th, 2017, crude oil closed at $46.47 a barrel, lower than on November 30th of 2016. I don't think the production cuts did what they were trying to accomplish. And that's a good thing for all of us who consume. So we're really happy about that one. So one final update. Dow Jones finally turned green, bounced back up 8 points, less than a tenth of a percent to 20,938. The S&P still is down a half a point, but trying ever so greatly to get back to break even. The NASDAQ's up over 11 points, two-tenths of 1%. So things are beginning to move. We like that. And, we'll talk oil again. Oil's pretty much flat. That's come down. Gold prices are easing down, up $7.50 to $12.3750. U.S. 10-year yield's been about the same all morning, 2.327%. So that's the update. We want to thank you for tuning in to Some Things About Money. I know we threw a lot of data at you, but there was a lot of data to provide. And, you know, if you don't look at the facts, or if you don't understand what the facts mean, you really are probably putting yourself at some risk. So, you know, all too often we like to look at the glitz and, you know, we're attracted and convinced that this is what we should be doing or what we should be buying because it's the sexy investment in the room when, you know, being able to read, get through the fundamentals and understand the data is probably a better way to build your portfolio making those investment decisions. So that's why it's a good idea to talk with a credentialed, knowledgeable financial advisor and not somebody who's just licensed to sell products. So again, give us a call, or if you have a good financial advisor, give them a call. Run through the data, make sure you're doing your reviews so you have the ability to sleep at night because, quite frankly, no matter how much money you have, if you're not sleeping at night, you're probably not going to make retirement and enjoy that money. So knowledge is a good thing. Go out and get it. Again, you've been listening to Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Heidi & Associates, and Some Things About Money. And the final reminder of the day, as always, get out there, buy Hunterdon, buy often. Have a great day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
As you know, the president has chosen the state of Israel as a site for his first international visit this coming week.
And as that presidential visit to Israel approaches, David Friedman, the new U.S. ambassador to Israel, is welcomed there by Israeli officials and says of President Trump,
his love for and commitment to the state of Israel is rock solid and it enjoys his highest priority.
President Trump's priority this morning has been defending himself against reports that he shared highly classified information with Russian officials who were visiting the White House last week. Trump tweeting earlier today that he has an absolute right to share the facts that are related to terrorism and airline safety. He says he's also trying to get Russia to step up its fight against ISIS. The fight against ISIS will also be a topic today when President Trump hosts the visiting president of Turkey. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, otherwise known as Mr. Relentless. To be relentless requires constant energy. That's why I take NAD Plus Cell Regenerator from Life Extension. As we age, our cellular metabolism declines. But you can fight back with NAD Plus. NAD Plus provides advanced support for cellular health. It revitalizes your cellular energy. Now you can get NAD Plus at half off. That's 50% off retail price only for my listeners. Call toll-free 855-870-6622, 855-870-6622. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
South Carolina Republican Congressman Trey Gowdy takes himself off the list of possible candidates to replace James Comey as FBI director. The former state and federal prosecutor has been mentioned as a possible replacement for Comey, fired last week by President Trump, but Gowdy's issued a statement saying he spoke with Attorney General Jeff Sessions over the weekend and said he would not be the right person for the job. Expense sheets for a Republican California congressman go under a federal microscope. Here's Jason Campidonia.
Congressman Duncan Hunter is under federal criminal investigation over the use of a campaign credit card. A new report released Monday says Hunter used the card to pay a $2,000 bill at a Las Vegas hotel and a nearly $400 bar tab at a Vegas cigar lounge. He's paid back around $60,000 worth of charges that include flying himself and his pet rabbit to different destinations. Hunter says he didn't do anything wrong and he mistakenly used the card for personal stuff.
Find us online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
Fans of a popular TV sitcom that's recently been canceled are hoping to change the ABC network's decision. Many fans of the show believe that Last Man Standing, starring Tim Allen, was canceled because it so strongly professes conservative and Christian values.
This is insane.